Nevada's Republican state treasurer Dan Schwartz describes himself as a practical conservative. Over the past 4 years, he has been an outspoken critic of Governor Brian Sandoval. The $750 million room tax for the Raiders Stadium in Southern Nevada, and the commerce tax. Now, as a candidate for governor, Schwartz says he wants to completely overhaul the state's public education system, starting with funding for education savings accounts. He spoke with KUNR's Paul Boger to talk about his agenda.
What do you see as the most pressing issue in Nevada right now?
Well, I think there's two or three of them. One of them, which we've tried to make, is a single issue of education. Governor Sandoval passed this tax hike, $1.2 billion. We spend $2 billion a year, and what have we gotten for it? We are last in every major national report on education. It's shameful, and it needs to be corrected. And what I've said is I will sign no bill unless I have an education reform bill, with including parental choice, on my desk. I think also the bought and paid for issue. Again, we have a site called Laxalt for sale, and same thing with Sislac. It's just appalling the amount of money that is taken from special interests and insiders and lobbyists. I haven't taken any. I don't intend to take any, and this needs to be reformed. The diversification of our economy, big issue. We subsidize the gaming and entertainment industry. They think they pay a lot. They don't. They pay less than 20% of the tax revenue. It's a good amount, but this whole stadium, really is a subsidy for the entertainment industry. This state will never make it into the next century unless we change that. I love people coming to Nevada, but the people who live here, including me and you, we need an economy that's high-paying jobs and a 21st century economy. Lots of other issues, but those are the two or three big ones.
All right, so let's break that down a little bit and talk about education first. If you got a bill right now that could fix education, yeah, what would it look like?
Well, what I want is a total overhaul of the education system. And what I want is all 63 legislators to form a committee of the whole and to really begin to look at it. You know, the administrative organization needs to be looked at. I think we need to continue the breakup of the Clark County School District. We need to redirect the $750 million in hotel revenue taxes from the stadium to education or mental health or some combination thereof. I want to fund universal parental choice. I want to develop programs to involve parents in their child's education. I want to create career pathways for kids. We're not going to tell a kid and a child in first or second grade that he has to be a PhD or a plumber, but I think to start making school relevant and interesting, we need to create these career paths. I think we need to ensure English literacy. This is a number one or a big, certainly one of the top goals of the system, of the education system. We need to focus on teachers, and that probably means a pay raise for the really good teachers and some additional instructors for those who aren't. We need to reduce administrative layers in the middle, somewhere between the state superintendent and the high school principal. We need to better understand the role that poverty plays in a child's ability to learn. If you spend the night sleeping in the car because you don't have a house or if you don't have enough to eat, that certainly impacts on your ability to learn in school. I want preschool. Our job is to educate, and every parent I've talked to says that who sent their child to pre-K and Head Start has said it really made a difference for my child. So there's a lot of things to do, and we need to get on it.
You mentioned ESAs. You're a proponent of it. I think we all know that.
Right.
But more than likely, if you become governor, you're going to have to work with a heavily Democratic legislature. How do you think you get that passed through a body that, quite frankly, has been very opposed to it?
Yeah, Paul, your point is very well taken. I just on my own recognizance had a conversation. Again, I haven't been elected. I have a couple of tough elections ahead of me, but talked to a very senior Democratic legislature, and when I talked to him, he was very opposed to it. He said, you know, this is the end of our conversation. But he then gave a press interview where he's left the door open. He said, you know, I need to be convinced of it, and I think this gentleman is an open and fair-minded guy, and I think this is crucial. We can talk about ESAs, but we held hearings on it. The legislature asked the state treasurer, me, to come up with regulations. We had three separate hearings, and this is a middle-class issue. It's for single parents. It's for two-income parents who spend their time working, and it's for military families. It's for special needs families. It's an important tool in this state's ability to educate our kids. It doesn't really take away money from the public schools because we have a per-pupil funding mechanism, but it really opens the door to a whole set of options for parents who want their kids to have a good education. So I'm adamant. I don't think Governor Sandoval really cared, but I care, and I care a lot. So maybe there's a rumble in the jungle, but I don't think so. I want higher teacher salaries. Democrats are very much for higher teacher salaries. So there's, you know, politics is about compromise, and I think they can be persuaded this is a worthwhile endeavor. So, you know, let's have at it.
There's been discussion for the last 50 years, but it's kind of come up again this election cycle of looking at the Nevada plan, the state's funding formula. You know, what changes do you think need to happen there?
You know, I don't have an opinion on that right now. It's just not working. And, you know, that's why I said I want the whole legislature involved in this. I mean, I think the people of this state need to know that their elected representatives care about this issue, and they are willing to devote their entire focus, their entire efforts to fixing it.
All right, let's go ahead and switch gears and talk about health care.
Yeah.
There has been this movement to repeal key aspects of the Affordable Care Act over the last several years that have definitely ramped up over the last 18 months. You know, as governor, how would you work to protect those individuals that are currently covered under Medicaid expansion?
Yeah, for starters, I'm not going to kick Uncle Harry out of his wheelchair, okay? I'm not going to repeal Medicaid, and we will continue to take care of those in our community who need health care. But I think the focus really needs to be on costs in addition to the checks we write. What I want to do is I want to separate what I call cuts and scrapes insurance from catastrophic insurance. And cuts and scrapes insurance, and this goes for the Medicaid recipients too, can actually be provided pretty inexpensively. Whereas catastrophic is a different matter. You know, those generally require hospitalization, their cancer, their cardio, et cetera, and really begin to look at what the cost elements are. And I think Congress just can't seem to get their arms around it. But I think we in the state can certainly develop a health care insurance plan that effectively focus on costs rather than on how much we're going to pay out and really begin, as I said, first and foremost, separating, you know, cuts and scrapes, you have a headache, you have an earache, whatever, from the much larger medical costs and really sort of take that road.
I've been told that Assemblyman Sprinkle will bring forward a Medicaid for All bill yet again this legislative session.
Yeah.
Would you support something like that?
Yeah, I'd have to look at it. When you say Medicaid for All, the truth of the matter is, and I haven't seen the latest statistics, but over the last two or three years, something like 85% of Americans are covered through their employer. Okay, so it's a huge issue, but it's not as huge as some might believe. And I think we're talking about 15%. And this is the Democratic answer. It's wonderful, but who's going to pay for it?
There's also this debate over gun reform. How do you feel about Nevada's current gun laws?
I respect the Second Amendment. I am opposed to assault rifles for criminals or pill poppers, the mentally incompetent. And I would love to see a bill to try and move that down the pike. But I'm not going to touch guns. I'm not going to take anyone's guns away, as I say, except assault rifles, which no one really needs. But beyond that, you know, it's a constitutional amendment. It's a constitutional right. I have other things I want to do. And as you know, and as our numbers show, the people in the state barely pay attention to what's going on anyway. So why not spend it, what limited oxygen I have? Let's spend it on education. Let's spend it on putting an end to the corruption in Carson City. Let's use it to we've got to reform health care. Let's use it to diversify the economy. And if I can get those things done, I'll be a happy governor.
But would you, as governor, work to enforce the state's background check law?
Yeah, if it's a law in the state, I will work to enforce it. You know, that it's that simple. I'm not the governor. Constitutionally, cannot pick and choose what laws he wants to enforce. So if it's the law, I will enforce it.
I have to ask, you know, the commerce tax has become a major issue in this particular election.
Yeah.
What do you think about the commerce tax?
I want to repeal it. And I want to repeal it, you know, philosophically, it's a bad tax. But what's really bad about it is that we as Nevadans rejected it 4-1. And Governor Sandoval just ignores that and puts it on, you know, gets it passed in the legislature. It's the same thing with question one on guns. Adam Laxalt, who is an opponent, decides that he doesn't like it, so he refuses to enforce it, you know, coming up with some alibi. It is not the task of the governor to pick and choose what he likes and doesn't like. If the people, you know, obviously there's other issues, but if the people have legitimately voted for something, then it should be acknowledged and observed. I make an observation. I'm not saying I'm going to do anything, but our gaming industry contributes less than 20% of the revenues for this state, and they are taxed by a factor of 50% at the lowest rate in the country. And above that next cover bit, if you will, next cover tax, it jumps up to 25%. Tax abatements. The governor's office can give this stuff out like it's candy. We cannot finance our schools, our hospitals, our roads if we keep abating taxes. And what I can say is that Nevada is a great place to do business. We have no corporate or personal income tax. We have, you know, for the price of a garage in San Francisco or L.A., you can buy a house in Nevada. Our regulators confirm decisions in weeks, not months or years. So let's build the infrastructure. Let's go out, reach out, and get some encourage industries to move here. So, yeah, there are ways to finance it, legitimate ways, and we're not doing it.
You have been an outspoken critic, and in this interview already you've mentioned the room tax out in Vegas to pay for the Raider Stadium. Talk to me a little bit about that, why you think it is a boondoggle, if you will.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I'm the only businessman, the only one with a financial background who's running for governor, and I think the state's issues now are most certainly about economic development. They're about financial management. And this state's financial management's a disaster. There were three special sessions. The first one was a Tesla plant. The jury's still out on that. I mean, I think it's going well. Reno's going through a real revival, and I think that's great. But Tesla continues to report hundreds of millions of dollars of losses. We need to keep an eye on that. Faraday Future was a bust. Again, I was the only person who opposed that, and after 18 months, it finally imploded. And the stadium. This stadium, to me, is the con of the decade. This is a $2 billion-plus project that is floating on a sea of debt. They've taken $750 million of public money, and that's the only real sole support for this stadium. Sheldon Adelson, the Sands, was going to contribute $650 million in equity. He pulled away when he took a look at it, and we now have a Bank of America package there. No one has seen it because Steve Hill and Steve Sisolak won't show it to anybody. But what are the provisions for repayment? That money's got to be repaid. It's a construction loan. And then the Raiders are a joke. He's promised $500 million. Let's see. He's got a $200 million loan from the NFL. And then the rest, he's selling personal seat licenses and naming rights. Where's that money going to go? Is it going to go into Mark Davis's pocket? And then the stadium isn't going to come in at 1.8 or 1.9. It's easily a $2.2 or $2.3 billion project. So what's going to happen, and I'm predicting this, a year from now, the stadium authority is going to run out of money, and they're going to have no idea where to get it from. So let's go beyond that. Let's as I say, the stadium, the Sisolak and Laxalt was making phone calls in support of this. If they get elected, they can deal with it, and it ain't going to be pretty. But let's look at the tax abatements. We GOED, which is the governor's office of economic development, they said hands out tax abatements, which are tax breaks, like it's Christmas candy. We Apple Computer, which has just announced a $100 billion stock buyback, was given a 6% of the sales tax, 8.25%. 6% from the state. That was very nice of the governor to do that. And then another, the remainder to, I don't know what the sales tax is in Reno, 2.25 or something like that, 2.5. The rainbow flag of Reno gave them the rest. So here we have this enormous company, which is doing business, and I think it's great that Apple's here, paying no tax. They don't pay corporate income tax. They don't pay personal income tax. They've got 100 employees. No sales tax. Why are we doing that? Why do we have a trade office in Mumbai and Beijing and not one in San Francisco and L.A.? Why aren't we encouraging UAVs, unmanned aerial vehicles? Why aren't we encouraging solar? Why aren't we encouraging technology? And the reason is because all of the legislators are paid off by the big casinos in Las Vegas to subsidize them, and that just needs to stop. I mean, if it doesn't stop, this is going to be a backwater in 100 years, or 50 years, or 20 years. It gets the blood flowing and the adrenaline pumping.
All right. Dan Schwartz is Nevada's current state treasurer and a Republican candidate for governor. Mr. Schwartz, thank you so much for chatting.
Good. I appreciate the time.